Known Brother Rick a long time, and he's been faithful over the years, and he's still faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just appreciate Brother Rick, appreciate him preaching tonight and giving you best attention. Appreciate you, Rick. Appreciate you.
Amen. Step number two. Pastor called us this evening whenever he was coming out of the doctor's office, said he just got shot up. He said he's going to go to the house and lay down. He said what was fixing to come on him, he said was supposed to get worse. And so he said, I don't believe I can make it tonight. So we'll continue praying for the preacher. And they were hoping these shots will make the difference instead of having to go in there and whacking on him. So they'll try this for the first shot and see if that'll make the difference. So I suppose pray, and hopefully these whatever they did down there will make the difference in his pain that's in his legs. All right. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll look tonight in these passages of scripture. And dealing with this chapter here tonight, we're going to look at this title of as I outlined this out from my own personal study here. It was the gospel's fruit. Every one of us, if we've heard the gospel, it's made difference in our life, and it should be making difference in our life. And if it's something sprung up in you, then there's somewhere in our life some fruit should be coming out on you. You'll be blooming, putting on fruit, and your fruit should be remaining, making difference in the lives of people. And then with these inmates out here this week, we've been there every day, and we'll graduate our class on this Friday, teaching the character lessons out there. And things I've been stressing to those men in this character building is if you're just doing these classes just to say, well, I'm going to do these things so the district attorney will check off on these boys been going to class, they looking good. And I said, if that's all you looking for this class to accomplish in your life, I said, you might as well pack your bags up right here, go on back to the unit, and just sit there. Because it won't change you. Information does not make difference. But I said, if you're coming in here looking for a difference, and I said, these lessons will help you make difference in your life if you'll take heed to it. And so they're all been sitting there taking the lessons, but I said, you're looking at me, you're grinning at me, and you say you're appreciating all this stuff right here, but I said, the fruit will come later. I said, whether you stay out, whenever you get out, or you're going to get out and return back to the way you were, and you'll be right back. And our Christian walk is no different. You remember the story that Jesus gave? I'm just giving some interlude right here before we get into the lesson right here, just setting the pace on this thing. Jesus said, in his day, he said there was went in and cleaned the house, garnished it. Jesus said, it means that the Spirit of God comes in and garnishes the house, takes everything out, and the spirits leave, and they leave out. And they find no place to abide, and they'll come back to that house. And he'll enter back into that house and bring 7 more like him. Jesus said the latter end of that person is worse than the first end. We wonder sometimes, Jesus tells us why people don't ever hang in there. And I'll say, if we learn some things, we get saved by the good grace of God. God saved me, cleaned me as clean as the hounds do. Yeah, he did. Past, present, and future all took care of. There's a lot of things about our lives got to be added to our lives to make our lives count for him. I'm grateful for Ernie Bartlett and Joe Allen that taught me some things in that Sunday school class up in that little Southern Baptist church. In my get-go days, it put some principles down inside of my life in those days that made difference still yet today. Still teaching the class, Brother Joe, sitting back there. Still making a difference. Still studying the scriptures. Still adding to my life. And that's the gospel's fruit. And let's look at this second chapter here. And I hope some things said tonight will encourage you, help and strengthen you in our Christian walk with the Lord. Verse number one, the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. That word consolation, has anything ever been set? Anything ever give you some rest? Anything ever give you some strength? Anything ever cheer you? That's what that consolation means. There's been any consolation in Christ. If anything's ever given you something to set you, giving you rest in your soul, give you strength in your living, giving cheer in your life, then it's been what Christ has done in you. If there be any comfort of love, of any fellowship in the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of the one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's a good thing you ought to mark in your life to try to obtain. If the devil ever gonna mess with you, he gonna mess with your mind. It's where he's going to attack you. That's where he's going to wear you out if you let him. He's in your mind. Idle minds. We sit around watching stupid televisions and we got an idle mind. Leisure. It's all Americans giving to is a bunch of leisure. But let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Evil with God, verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men, being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord? He is Lord, but is he your Lord? That's the key to the whole thing in our life. Is he Lord of our life? To the glory of God the Father. Let's have a word of prayer. My Father, thank you for what you've done already this evening. Lord, we're grateful for these young people. We're thankful for Patch and, Lord, for the ladies that are teaching these young people. Please, our Father, Lord, may the Holy Ghost of God deal heavily, dear Lord, back in that class, helping these young people, dear Lord, to get a hold of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and God, that their lives will be made champions for you. We pray, our Father, now, Lord, for this hour that we have here this evening, dear Father, that you make difference, dear Lord, in our midst. May the Word of God challenge us, dear Lord. May the Word of God prick us. May the Word of God cut things out of our life, dear Lord, we need to be gotten out. Lord, we might be able to be effective servants for you in these dark days of this United States of America. Help us, we pray. Bless our country. Help this country, dear Lord. Help us to be a shining light in it, dear Lord, that we might be able to turn some from the wickedness of this old world to the Lord Jesus Christ. We sure love you. Thank you for your grace now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we see here tonight in these passages of Scripture, in verse number 1, we see that there's a consolation in Christ. That consolation that Christ had, he says, there's a comfort in his love. There's also a fellowship in his spirit. There's also bowels of his mercy. And these things that God wants to do is to be able to have the things of Christ in us, that he might give us comfort, that we might have the fellowship with the Spirit of God. I had no fellowship at all with God whatsoever, but ever since 1975, by the good grace of God, he made difference in my life, and I have fellowship with the one on the inside that makes things comfortable in our lives. Comfort of love. I'm glad Christ has made difference in our lives.
I'm glad the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by that Holy Ghost and has made difference in all of our lives together. And he knows what he's doing and know how to do it, but the fruit of the gospel is that we'll have a consolation that is in Christ. Those things that gives us strength, those things that gives us rest, those things that we have in our life in Christ is that comfort is in communication and also bowels of mercy is with compassion. Has God ever changed you about the way you feel toward lost folk? Has God changed things inside of you that you have something down inside of you that you want to make difference in somebody else because he's made difference in you? That ought to be a great desire in our hearts. I'm glad for old Bill, that old Cherokee Indian up there, that plant up there that night that said those words to me. He said, Hildebrand, you got to go back in there and tell him. And I asked the question, tell him what? He said, tell him you got saved. I said, I can do that. I didn't know no Bible verses. I didn't know nothing about what John 3:16, but I know what Bill said that night, that God saved me. And I went and told everybody that I worked with that night at 11 o'clock. I said, Hildebrand got saved tonight about 9 p.m. Why? I had a desire for them folks to know that Hildebrand got saved that night on that football field. They looked at me. They laughed at me. They do everything. That's the way the world's going to look at you. But never deters the fact that we've got to be able to tell them and have compassion, have the mercies of God inside of us, and man, we're grateful for what God did, and turn around and have compassion on others. Say, boy, if you had what I had, you sure would like it. Come on now. Maybe sinners don't want to have what you have. Come on. You need to break something out on your face. Let sinners know you are enjoying what God's given to you about your good salvation. I know this is Wednesday night. It's a hump night, and you feel like, man, I'm all drug out. Well, you ought to let the Spirit of God perk you up just a little bit. Just have some joy unspeakable and full of glory that makes difference in your life. Consolation does that. Consolation will give you strength. Consolation will give you cheer down in your soul. Those things are in Christ, but those things, he says in verse number 2, that we ought to be in us. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Is any consolation in the Christian? It ought to be. He said we ought to be like-minded. That's right. Been likeness in his love. I mean, he had a mind of loving us. We ought to have a mind of loving others. We ought to have the same love, that thing of being of one accord and not no disputing among one another. We ought to be as God's children with the Spirit of God that's in the everlasting one. And we ought to have the Spirit of God that makes difference in our life. And if the Spirit of God lives in us, then we'll have the same Spirit and have a spirit of love one another. What Jesus said to his disciples, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. I think we're missing some things in our generation of time in this day of the church age, that there's a lot of things missing in the house of God that sinners don't want to have anything to do with the children of God. We try to think that they ought to come to church. I didn't want to go to church. Sinners don't want to come in here. So if sinners don't want to come in here, then you ought to go where the sinners are at. Making difference in the lives of sinners. I don't say you have to go to the beer joints. No, you don't have to go there. You exit out the place and you say, well, have a good day. We ain't never going to go back. And I ain't never been back. Don't stop me from going where that sinner lives. Maybe I have to kick a few beer cans around, but going out where that sinner lives and sit down in that sinner's house. Tell that sinner how good God's been to you. Tell that sinner how good that the God of glory has changed your life, if he's made any changes in your life.
A lot of time we get stuck up, we become pharisaical. We get stuck up too high on a cloud. Sometimes we just need to take a trip. Well, we standing too high up on that limb. We climb up on top of that mountain. We want to shine the light down on them folk. But God said we need to take a trip and go down where the folk are at so the light don't be blinding them when they're trying to look up. Making a difference in our lives in Christ is having like-mindedness, having the same love and being of one accord, making a difference. That's what consolation will do for us. It gives us those strength that we can have those things. Then in verses number 5 down through verses number 11 in our reading that we just did there, we find that there's a comfort, there's a the conformity that God wants to do in our lives. Conforming us in the image of his dear Son. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. If there's anything that God says, I am going to, your predestination is that you are going to be that. One way, shape, or form. If you're saved by the good grace of God, you've come to that place of accepting Him and His Savior right there, God says, you are going to be conformed in the image of my Son. And everything that God sends to us in this life, that's what He decided, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. God came down to where we are and took upon Himself this form of a servant made in the likeness of man. He come and entered to where we at, and He said, I want you to enter where I'm at in my mind. Why did I come here? Why did He come? Being in all points tempted as we are, but yet without sin. I mean, he came to where we were to be able to have an understanding of where we sit at. God entered into that arena just for you and I. Being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Touched with it. God brings us to this place of conforming us in Ephesians 1, verses number 5 and 6, and having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable into the beloved. I am glad God accepted this old sinner right into His beloved. I am glad He made difference in my personal life. Being grateful in our personal lives of knowing that Christ came in and he began conforming me. Gospel's fruit is that Christ wants to make difference, and if He's made difference, then we'll be like Him somewhere down this gospel road that we're traveling on. God knew what He was getting out there on that football field. He not caught off guard on not one thing about our lives. Well, you've never been out in the sinful steppings of some of this old world. Maybe you've been raised up in church, saved at an early age, but it still took the same good grace of God to save you as it took to save old Hildebrand. And I'm saying to you, God knows what you are and what He chose you for. You are a vessel, as He says over in Timothy, over a meat for the master's use. What kind of vessel are you? In every house, He says there in Timothy over there, there's a vessels of wood and of earth and of stone. He said that they're vessels for purposes that He's chose each one of us for. Brother Joe says this right here, and I picked up on it. God's not in the cookie making business. He don't make Oreos, stamp everybody out exactly the same way. We all have our ingredients that we've lived in this whole world, and we all have our ingredients that God placed inside of us, and we're all a different cookie that God says, I'd like to offer this world some of that sweetness that I put down inside of you by the good grace of God. Predestination. Predetermined before the foundations of this old earth. You mark that down. If Christ was predetermined before the foundation of earth to go to Calvary, and whoever come and looked at Calvary, God already, in his foreknowledge, already looked down through the corridors of time, he said that cross is going to stand there, and whosoever looks upon it shall live. And I was in that crowd that looked, and I'm living. That makes difference. He begun that good work, he says in another place here in Philippians, that begun that good work shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is performing in me. A lot of times we fail to let God prune some things out of our lives to make us more in His purpose of His will. What kind of mind did Christ have? Well, at the early age of 12 years old, in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 49, he said unto them, how is it you sought for me? Wist you not I must be about my Father's business? At 12? Did he have a purpose? At 12 years old, he astounded them in the church house. I mean, do our 12 years old down here astound people? He had a purpose. He had a desire. John 8:28, he said, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as I my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Let me ask you, as an adopted child, do you fit into God's family as an adopted child? Huh? Or are you sticking out like we see in our society today? We see some families adopt a child and this kid that's been adopted in. I've seen some families raise them up, and I mean, they just seem like they just blend right in, and they got the love and everything's all nurtured in them. But we also see them that they, when they've sometime been adopted in, they'll buck up against what happened in their life because they've never had the flow of the love as a tender mother would have of her own child. You don't have to worry that about God. God's grace loves us just as much as He loves His Son, or He'd have never sent Him. We ought to take on the mind of Christ and have His will and have His desire and always have inside of us, I'd like to do what my Father says for me to do. I'd like to be doing just like what my daddy said for me to do. What are you looking in the book every day to find out what Papa's been trying to tell you? Or do you just come to church and, well, hey, Rev, I want you to rev at me now here just a little while. I'm setting you for about 30 minutes and you just tell me a few things right here and I'll leave out on what you tell me, preach. You'd be surprised at how many folk that come to the house of God sitting right here and that's all they're waiting on is somebody preach to them a little bit and they said, boy, that makes me feel so much better. If you crack that book open early in the morning, you sure enough feel good early in the morning. Come on. Really? You think it's only just for the preachers to get up early and read the Bible and study that thing out? No. Paul told young Timothy over a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What does Papa want you to know out of this good book? And I'm saying that he has given some things that we ought to have a purpose in our life, or to have some inclination in our life just to live for God and study this book out every day. The mind of Christ
His heart and his will, the seat of affection. Romans chapter number 7, Paul writes, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that is within me that I would do good, and evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, for after the inward man, but I see in me another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who then is with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with this whole flesh, the law of sin." You ever find your place sometime crying out like Paul did, "Oh, wretched man that I am"? Oh, somebody was saying we've all arrived. We don't weep before God. If we have a mind of Christ, the Lord Jesus oft times went to the garden by himself. John 17 tells us that priestly prayer that he prayed. He come and laid himself before God. And he said, "If there's any way, God, I this cup can pass me." He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He said, "If there's in my flesh, there's a dime say, I wish this stuff would separate that side of me here. But in the spirit that I am," he said, "it's not my will, but thine be done." Whatever God wants to do with our life, we need to rear back and say, "God, here it is." But our flesh says, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I'm going to hold back on that. But God says, "If you just step out and give me yourself," he said, "I'll live through you." Not a person sitting in this room is any different. Not a one of us. Every man sitting, lady sitting in this room here tonight has a will. You're sitting there and the Spirit of God will nudge you to do something. Your will say, "Mm-mm, not me." Your old flesh will fight you back. Say, "Nah, I can't do that. There ain't no way I can do that." You're no different than Apostle Paul. He said, "In that old rotten flesh that I live, I can do nothing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" We'd come back to our personal lives and let this mind be in you, and just like Christ turned to God, and our lives will turn to him and say, "God, I ain't no way, but here I am. God, if you can do it, here I am, do it." Will you let him do it? Gospel has some fruit. Fixing to hit mama's apple trees down there right beside her house down there. We fixing to prune some things out of that apple tree. Got the grapevines the last of January. I'm fixing to get on that apple tree, climb through that thing, prune some things out. Why? I want some good apples off that tree. You think the God of glory don't know whenever it's time to prune, to shear, to work on us, work in us, work through us? He'll bring every avenue of this old world to accomplish those things. He'll use lost people. He'll use the heathen. He'll bring everything in your life to just kind of trim some things out of your life to cause you to come to the same place that Paul came to. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this old body?" Tempted? Why does people turn and leave out of the house of God? There's been right here. There used to be folks sitting right here. Ain't in church nowhere tonight. There's folks that used to be on Sunday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They just now show up a little bit on Sunday morning now. So I'm just a Sunday morning glory. I've done my duty now, so I'm just going to show up on Sunday morning. Is that what God wants with us? No, God has said, "Is your heart and your will set right?" His heart and his will were set right.
the conformity that he wants to work inside of us. Verse number 12 down through verse number 18. He deals with this gospel and its fruit and in our obedience. Therefore, my beloved, if as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in this midst of this crook and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Working out. God says, I got to work out some things in you. Sit back and think of the days after I got saved and went to Sunday school class, and I started learning some things down there, and I probably asked them boys some questions that I seen sometimes kind of smirk and grin, and I think back on some of the questions I had way back then. I had this Bible right here. I'm so ignorant of this Bible right here. I had that stuff. Questions right there, and I said, it was questions. I was wanting to know what the Bible meant. Because God was working on me. Working in me. Trying to work out some things inside of me. And it says that what the scriptures have here, he's working out of us to our salvation, that our lives could be worth something in this day. He's working in us in verse number 13 of service that he have in our lives, that we can be able to live our lives for Christ day in and day out. Obedience in submission. Verses 14 and 15, he says, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in this midst of this perverse and wicked nation. Submissiveness. How submissive are you to the Spirit of God? Nobody ever knows that. Do you know that? Nobody, everybody looking on, and you be that grinning just real big, and nobody knows how you're dealing with the Holy Ghost of God, and how are you submitting to the Holy Ghost of God and making difference in that. And I'm saying God's keeping record on there, and our obedience as children. How many times you want to pass the test every time God comes around your way and he deals at you, because he's been trying to work out of you, he's been trying to work in you, and those things are without, because there's things coming that's going to be within you. Down in verse number 16 through 18, holding forth the word of life, that he may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause do I also joy and rejoice with me. I'm saying that, hey, God wants to work out of us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the sinners of this old world. If sometimes it's going to come, are you willing to be offered? That day's coming, my friend. I don't know whether I'll get to live it, but you better mark her down. We've come in our generation of time. We're going to come to a place. You be like Apostle Paul. They might take you to the guillotine, sever your head. They might take you to the jailhouse and lock you down in the hole. You ready to be offered what you believe? Being obedient? I'm saying to you, then, in the last part of this verse of scripture, 19 down through verse number 24, he's talking about being the gospel's fruit and being able to duplicate yourself. He comes in the life of these men down here, in young Timothy, in Epaphroditus. These men, he says, I have no other man that I can send to you like mine in verse number 20, who is naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. For you know the proof of him, as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. A young man that Paul had nurtured and brought up, he says, of whom? Duplicating ourselves to be like who? You?
Paul said in another place over, be ye followers of me even as I am of Christ. He was constantly pointing to the Savior. He said, I want you to follow Him as I follow Christ. Is our lives looking to Him constantly, or we guilty in this day that we live? We got icons of men that set up and focus on, I wish I was like Him. I wish I was like Him. No, I look at the page of this book right here. I wish I was like Him. Oh, to be like Him, pure as He is. Get that song, Oh, Be Like Thee. You got that? We need to be like Him. Making a difference in this old world. Duplicated of whom? Duplicated to whom? And because, verse number 30. Because for the work of Christ. He was talking about Epaphroditus there. He was nigh to death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me. What is your life like? It's always going to be whenever you're drawing it down to the close of things, and that's right here was the close of things for Apostle Paul. Book of Philippians. Closing his life out, writing a letter to a group and admonishing a few and saying, listen, I'm fixing to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Have we fought a good fight? Have we kept the faith? I know you're sitting here on Wednesday night. Cream of the crop. How many flies going to get the cream this year? I was raised on the farm. Flies got the cream. Let's let our lives be counted for Him. Let's let some fruit stick out. Let's let this old world know that we are Christians. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for, Lord, what You've written and given to us. Lord, we have something to hold to and these days, dear Father, that would change us and challenge us, dear Lord, we'd be more like You. Thank You for Your grace that You've given. Thank You for Your mercy, dear Lord, that You've offered to us. We sure didn't get what we sure deserved. We pray, our Father, Lord, that You'd help us to be drawn closer to You in these days. Help us with our families. Us older folks got grandchildren. Dear Lord, help us with our grandchildren. Help us be an example to them, Lord, that we might show forth Christ to them. Nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. I pray, our Father, Lord, You'd help us with the children on the Bible club route, Lord, that we would be, God, what we need to be to these young people. Help us to be, Lord, to the families of these children that come on the Bible club, dear Lord. Help us, God, that we be more of an example, being able to share the gospel with the moms and with dads, dear Lord, on the routes, dear Lord. We ask, God, that You would bless us together here this evening. In Jesus' name we do pray. We'll stand to your feet.